The viewpoints expressed in the following program are not necessarily those of WRUU, its license holder or staff. You are listening to WRUU LP Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM. Hello and welcome to the Taking the Journey Show. We are your hosts, Craig and Sharon Butts.
Thank you for joining us as we explore interpersonal concerns and problems in dating, cohabiting, and marriage. Our relationship stories come from research and personal testimonies. Our main focus is on Black American relationships. However, our expanding world has us reaching out to include multicultural relationships as well.
Now, let's get right into our show.
Good morning, Imar.
Yes, good morning. Beautiful morning. It's been a beautiful morning in the last couple of days. Hope we took well advantage of it. They claim that we are at the end of the hurricane season.
Yes.
That means even in our relationships, when we talk about hurricanes and storms, and that's that we talked about before, that could be the ending for that in our relationships?
Yes.
Well,
that kind of a storm. The storm should be milder.
Well, if you learn from them.
Yeah.
You learn from those lessons, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. So, I am Imar.
And I am Zare.
Yes, and for those of the first time listening to it, the Taking the Journey Show, we've been doing this for the last, what, how many?
Since 5 years.
5 years, yes. We've been doing this on WRUU 107.5, right in Savannah, Georgia. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
As a matter of fact, it was November of 19 when we did our first show.
Yeah, it was. Wow.
Yeah.
No snow was on the ground, too. One of those times there was snow real close.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Unbelievable. I think the way things have been going, we'll probably come back again real soon.
I hope not.
Yeah, but you know.
But I know how your prophecies are. But
I don't know about all.
This is
that,
one that I hope blows over. Hint, hint.
So
we're not snowed under.
You know, I thought you were going to say. But I know about that snow since you have come from part of the country like Denver, and me coming from the part of the country like Omaha, in Kansas City, where there's plenty of snow there.
Yes, I experienced more snow in Kansas City than I did in Denver because
you were on the flat here.
In Denver. It snows today and it's gone today
because
most of the time.
Foothills, not Friday,
I know,
you're
but what I'm saying is in mm-hmm. Kansas City, it snows and then it gets cold at night and then it snows on top of it again mm-hmm. and then it gets cold at night mm-hmm. and it just kind of piles up.
You just should feel lucky that you live in Nebraska because it does the same thing, but it's even colder.
I know.
I know there was a time when my first particular marriage, I had a house that was up on the hill. We had about an acre worth of land, and we were looking at trying to rent it out for the horses for the military base, off of Air Force Base to be exact. And I remember the chill factor outside that in turn had our heater go off. It was all heater do at that because we were not close enough for gas. It was 80 degrees below zero chill factor.
You don't go outside in that.
Become
brittle.
Family kind of thing that, you know, fathers got to do. I put on that big old snowmobile coat with my snowmobile boots and everything on there. And all I had was, I had one of those ones where you have like a big snorkel that goes out in front. And I went out to behind the house, and behind the house, of course, there was no garage behind the house. Behind the house was the acre of that land, so the wind just blew like it was crazy.
Wow. And I'm on the flame.
Yeah, I'm on the ground trying to do what I didn't know because I'm new to this kind of wilderness thing. But it was colder than it's ever been before. And I had to take, luckily I bought some before. Mm-hmm. I had to wrap what they call heat tape around the actual pipe that was connected to the oil tank itself that went into the burner mm-hmm. in the house. So I had to wrap that around there while I was outside and then plug it in And wait for trouble. But if I remember right, I think I had a I think I took a propane first and heated it up the pipe. Yeah, I did that. Mm-hmm. Heat up the pipe the best that I could, hands freezing as can be, and then I wrapped the pipe and then plugged it in.
A propane torch.
Propane torch.
Yeah. And then I just added that because people couldn't see. I saw what you were doing.
Exactly. Yes. And then it plug it in, and then it heated up. In the meantime, we were all crunched up. And a front little room that used to be a garage, but they made it into a room, and that's where the fireplace was. So I had to learn the Boy Scout way to start a fireplace, and we were all huddled by the fireplace for most of the night just to get warm.
Wow!
But I tell you what, if you get a fireplace going and you have some room, I know seriously, but if you get the fireplace, you know, going correctly,
yes,
and you got some good wood. Yeah. A fireplace can heat a room up.
It can.
Seriously
it
good.
It definitely can.
I mean, seriously good from that end. But anyway, that's not what we're talking about. We are talking about from struggle to strength.
Yes.
And this is our part what?
Part two.
Part two.
Yes.
Part two. Yeah.
Part two.
Relationships run into struggles, and then they can in turn move to strength. It's amazing how we talked about the day. We can have heck of a struggles. I mean, heck of a struggles one day. And then that very night or the next day, it's like, this is just a sidebar. Then it's like a strength, meaning it's like a blessing comes.
Exactly.
Out of a struggle that night. And I can't figure that out.
I know.
I really can't. Of course, you know, I'm a lot of people think I talk too much anyway, but I do remember in the church world, folks used to say, you know, when something good is going on in your life, the devil is going to come, or those evil spirits are going to come, or those negative spirits are going to come, and they're going to try to mess that thing up. And so you know if that's happening, you've got a blessing
on the way.
In the wake. And
yes.
I don't know how many times that's happened with us.
Yeah, it has.
Wow. You brought that up today, come to think of
yesterday.
It.
Yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah, that was, it was several nice blessings that came through, and you know, we just it's just got to I don't know if maybe it's the negative energy is so heavy that it has to be worked through negatively to open up the door for the positive energies to come through. But I'm about let's find another way to keep those negative energies at bay.
There are some other ways.
Yeah.
How you manifest things in your life through how the food you eat, of course the thoughts that you have, or the thoughts that you create, the people that you're around.
Right.
I mean, that's just the name of
prayer, meditation.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's just a few of those things that will bring blessings in, but one thing is for sure, that is definitely one of them that's happened. And I know it back in the religious kind of world, if you may want to say, that's one that's brought up all the time.
Yeah.
From that end. And I have seen it happen, in, not on our relationship, but I'll be honest with you. And other relationships, like my first relationship, I saw that happen a lot.
Yeah.
I was like, this is okay.
Yeah.
But it was never, let's set up some drama.
Exactly.
And so we can get a blessing out of it, because before it don't seem to be happening. I would advise everyone listening, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do these things at home that we're saying.
Yeah. And you know, and I think a lot of it has to do possibly with the fact that there are things that cause tensions. Mm-hmm. And those tensions, you know, they reach the powder keg level and they just start spouting off, because, you know, even in relationships where people are partnering and they get stresses. I remember seeing it at home sometime between when I was growing up, between my mother and grandmother, who were you know, working together, and they had a really good relationship. After my grandfather passed away, my grandmother stepped in and carried on the relationship or the agreements that my mother and grandfather had as far as taking care of the bills and things like that. But sometimes things got tight and things got tough. And looking back, exactly. And looking back, I recognized that there were times when They were both stressed and frustrated because things weren't moving forward the way they needed to, mm-hmm. and they were at a stalemate or something. Mm-hmm. And then
the wits end, as people say.
Exactly. And they would have a big argument, you know, and go their separate ways, you mm-hmm. know, and which in the same house, you go your separate ways. One go to their room and the other go to their mm-hmm. room, you know. But then I would hear them talking about things working out.
Exactly.
And everything was okay again. Because mm-hmm. I was that nosy child.
Exactly. Wow. Open up the door, I still see him.
Yeah.
That's how big the house was.
Exactly. You know, forget that. You just kind of blink and there they are, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I don't think our young folks even know about that.
No.
It's so self-centered.
No. And
stuck
then,
on yourself.
Exactly.
And then mouse runs over the fur. I'm going.
Yeah. And then today, mm-hmm. we're not happy. Mm-hmm. Unless we're in houses so big that we can lose each other in them.
Okay, how do we get to that?
But as far as happiness goes, because
okay.
of what you just
okay,
said,
said,
you
okay.
know.
Okay, yeah. I understand that, definitely.
Yeah, but that you know, we have to work through those things sometimes before they reach that boiling point.
You know, I don't want to say what's going on in my mind about
oh,
a house, about our house.
In the middle of our street.
No, it was another song about our house is a very, very fine house with two cats in the yard and something, something. Anyway, move on. Move on. Where were we stop at before?
Well, we were talking about communication being a foundation for thriving relationship, mm-hmm. but it was also one of the major things that we have to talk about when mm-hmm. Or take into consideration when we find ourselves in that struggle, as they say, on the struggle bus, trying mm-hmm. to get to the strength part.
Yeah.
And we talked about using I statements.
I statements, yes.
And
it's all right to use I statements mm-hmm. because the key thing is when we usually get into these storms, the first thing that we think of is the other person.
Yeah,
so the
you.
Other person would be you.
Yes.
You made this happen. You.
Yes.
I don't think we always say it all the time because we really believe that it's them, so we say you.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because we don't want to hurt their feelings, so we're
yeah.
not going to say what? I.
And sometimes we will start off with you, and I'm guilty of this
mm-hmm.
because, I, as you say, I talk backwards sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
We will, you know, you'll say...
you delivered the end
you,
of the beginning.
Exactly.
Beginning of the end.
you did so and so and such, which made me feel such and such and
mm-hmm.
so and so. Instead of saying, I feel I was hurt
mm-hmm.
when you said this or when you did that,
mm-hmm.
and when I was hurt, and because of that hurt, I went into
shock.
Shock. Yes.
Depression.
I went into depression.
Depression.
I went
straight.
In,
out
I shut
anger.
Down. Or yes, I got. I was triggered or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you can't start with, you said so-and-so and such, and then I got mad.
Yes.
No, it's, you combine the I statement and a bridge statement to do that. It's something I struggle with, but I'm working on it.
Exactly. Trust and respect. Highlight the significance of building trust and mutual respect as the foundation of that healthy relationship. Reflection number one. Encourage yourself and those who are listening to think about how they show respect for the partner.
Uh-oh.
We were kind of discussing that today and part of that storm yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Respect.
No, yesterday for the storm, did it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think what happened many times is we think respect means I have to feel good about you at all times.
Right.
And then respect then is manifested. No. Respect in this case has everything to do with the times I don't feel like
uh-huh.
it,
mm-hmm.
but it's the role that you are in
yes.
that I respect.
Yes.
Just like in offices, we may not respect the person in this particular position,
mm-hmm.
but we respect the position
mm-hmm.
of itself
yes.
or the role that represents that particular position.
Exactly.
Is that making a little bit of
that,
sense?
That definitely makes sense because, you know, we have a tendency to misplace respect.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel, especially when we get in our feelings, we get the attitude of, I need respect more than you do.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what you have to do to respect me. And what that basically comes down to is you're saying that you're more important. And that's not the case in a relationship, in a thriving relationship. Both people are equally important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the respect
is about valuing each other as individual, mm-hmm. maintaining open communication and supporting one another in a way that promotes
equality and understanding.
I'll say it again. Respect in a balanced relationship is about valuing each other as an individual, maintaining open communication and supporting one another in a way that promotes what?
Equality and understanding.
Yeah. Wow.
And you know, that was one of those things that yesterday you exhibited very well. When you take into consideration that, you know, we were,
what did I do?
Well, we were at wit's end, Thursday night.
Okay.
And being at wit's end, we were at the point where, we were definitely going through a storm.
Yes.
And we were, you know, we were not on the struggle bus. We were under the struggle bus.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but then Friday morning, I had a presentation that I had to do.
Oh, yes, you did.
And
come from Korea.
Yeah,
because of that Korean
trip that I took, it had, I had to do a presentation based on that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being sick for some time, I hadn't said anything to you about it, and then I forgot about it because I didn't know what condition you would be in when this time came along. So I was like,
she's confessing.
I am. And so it was not that important up until a couple of days ago.
And the conversation wasn't this nice either, but go ahead.
No, it wasn't. So, but the bottom line is, even though we were in a position where it was like, I don't really want to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really want to talk to you. And that was what both of us were thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You respected me and what was going on and, you know, what I needed to do and the position that I was in, which, you know, required me to need to do that. You said, okay, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And we went. You went to support me in what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was nothing but sheer respect for the position that I was in.
Yes.
Because of that particular experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that kind of respect goes a long way.
Yes. It does. And so thank you.
You are very, very, very welcome.
Mm-hmm.
I think in a lot of people's relationship, and I'm going to move real quickly from it, we really look at respect as being a byproduct of our emotion. If
yes.
I don't feel this way, then I'm not going to respect
exactly.
you.
Exactly, exactly. And if you've made me mad,
there ain't no way I'm going to respect you.
No.
So they make respect based on our feelings. I'm just going to stop there and just continue on. So what's our next one?
Our next one has to do with tone and delivery.
Tone and delivery.
Yes.
Hey, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. My tone is okay.
Yes, it is.
Here's my delivery.
But mine is better.
Here's my delivery. Yes. What?
That's a good one. A lot of people do that.
99% of the communication style is needed in a balanced relationship. I'll say it again. 99% of this communication style is needed in a balanced relationship. Example, talk about the 90-year-old married couple and how they communicate with each other. I bring that as example because I wanted to talk again. And we talk. I tried my best to find that video we saw years ago about couples who are over 90 years old getting married again.
Yes.
What was unique about that?
The thing that was unique about that was the fact that they were able to talk about everything and laugh about it. They did not take themselves and each other so seriously.
Oh my God, they did not.
That everything they did was a reason to jump on the other and belittle them and talk about them and whatnot. It was like you spill that water in the floor, Yeah, I did. And then you turned around and dropped milk on top of it. So we had milky water in the middle of the kitchen floor, and they would just be falling out laughing about it.
You had to wonder, are these older people are they Alzheimer's tripping? Were they taking LSD or drugs? It was hard for me to believe at 9 years old that they wouldn't be more serious in their resolve of being together after 90 years and need to prove to them in the world that this is for real. And this can, it was not that
not at all. But then when you think about it, and I'm just thinking about this right now, maybe that's how they got to be 90.
Wow.
Because they didn't take themselves so seriously that it wore on their heart, it wore on their other organs, it, you know, wore on their blood pressure and all of that. They didn't take themselves so seriously. They were able to laugh at the stupid stuff and just chalk them up to being, you know, you made a mistake.
Yeah.
We nobody's perfect. Mistakes happen. Let's just fix it and keep it rolling.
Yeah. How old saying that says, you know, life is really a dream. How are you creating it with yourself and somebody else?
Yeah.
But that is very true. Hopefully we can find that link.
As they say, don't
link.
Sweat the small stuff.
Yes. Hopefully we can find that link and let people know about it.
Yeah.
Because it was so moving.
Oh, it was.
I've never seen anything like that. People over 90 getting married. And you were just like, what the heck? Who's running the same silent? but it was nothing to do, folks, that they couldn't move, they couldn't walk, they couldn't take care. They could take care of themselves.
Yeah.
But they would take care of themselves together as couples. Am I right?
Exactly. You know, and it just reminds me of my uncle, who I have talked about before, my great uncle, my Uncle Jim. He was real sickly. He was 80 and he was in the hospital, and there was another man in the same hospital room with him, and his mother came to visit him, and they were talking and everything. And long story short, my Uncle Jim and this other man's mother got to talking and started dating and everything. He was 80 years old when they got married, and they would travel around to different places, and the son would drive them around wherever they wanted to go. They would drive from New York down to Nashville so they could visit my grandmother, who was his sister-in-law. And, you know, and I mean, it was, I was like 16 at the time, and I'm thinking, you're 80. What is this all about? And now I fully, completely, and totally understand it. And they were just as happy as they could be.
And it was not a Cialis moment.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
I just wanted to remind you too.
I'm reminded.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it wasn't. But
90% of
they laughed a lot too.
Style is needed in a balance. Tone and delivery.
Yeah.
Tone and, I mean, they over the top gave each other positive affirmation. I'm talking about over the top.
Yeah.
Oh, the sky looks so beautiful today, and look how the sun is shining off that beautiful, beautiful head of yours, and those eyes are so bright.
Yeah.
I mean, stuff like this.
Yeah.
You remember what I'm talking about?
Exactly.
And she goes, oh, thank you so much, sweetie. You just are so good. I'm like, that's cheesy as can be. And yet they were doing it as serious as could be. And, you know, when you think, at least for me being younger, I mean, even my age now, I was younger thinking about it. Who am I to be trying to question them at their age?
Yeah.
I don't have to take care of them. They're not in the elders' house.
And they were living alone.
They were living alone doing their thing. So who am I really to question them and think for some reason I should make a judgment about
exactly.
that with them?
Yeah.
I could only really, if I swallowed my pride and everything else, could only say to myself, I hope to God that if I get that age, if I can get to that age, and I am in a relationship, I can still feel that good about life, myself, and who I was with.
And that's the thing about it. You need to learn from what they did.
Yeah.
You know, not make light of it, but learn. You know, make it.
What'd you learn?
What I learned is don't take ourselves so seriously. Let's laugh together. You know, how many times a day do we laugh?
Not enough, even between me and you.
Not even
it's one of our love languages, yeah. We don't.
Yeah.
We really don't. And we live in such a polarized world right now, politics and everything else. It's hard for us to say anything positive. I mean, when you look at the politics around, it's nothing but mostly negative condemnation. Mm-hmm. Not condensation, but, you know.
Connotation.
Connotation that's being spilled out all the time.
And it's not even negative connotations anymore. It is just straight out negative statements.
It is. And it's almost looked upon as being not only a fad, but that's a positive thing for you to do, which is to be negative.
But I think.
Like, greed is now good. Everything that used to be one way is now opposite.
Yeah, up is down and down is up.
Exactly. Wow.
But
crazy.
Exactly. But I think that one thing, you know, we have to take into consideration how lifestyles were different.
Yeah.
Too. And so they're used to things that we're not used to. They did not probably get hooked into the you know, the social media streams and whatnot.
Yeah, that became their, not only their norm, but became their, what they thought was a way of life.
Exactly. And so they didn't have that. And one of the things that we could maybe learn from that, that this just came into my mind, is to shut down our social media and step away from our phones for a little while a day and just spend some time with each other.
Totally.
And and talk about things. And see, that's the other thing. We don't know
how to talk to each other. We do that when we do our walks. Whether it's the beach or our favorite secret place, we do that.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's, in fact, that's what we need to emphasize even that much more, because those are the times we don't look at the phone. We don't do that. We are basically talking to each other, enjoying nature. And you see how it rejuvenates our relationship.
Exactly.
And in turn, it helps us go through those storms. And I think that's very, very important. Now, we still got to work on being a lot more positive, but uplifting and harmonious and gregarious and all that good stuff. You don't think it's so too corny. And if we do, at least we can do it in the house and nobody else outside has to know. Well, we'll get ready to head to a, what's it?
PSA.
PSA. Yep, and we should be, where are we at right now?
We're here.
Oh, okay, we're getting close to it. Anyway, we'll be right back right after that PSA, okay? Take care.
You are listening to WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul.
La vacuna contra el virus del papiloma humano o VPH puede proteger a mi hija contra el cáncer de cuello uterino. El doctor me dijo que la vacuna es segura y eficaz y que vacunara a mi hija cuando cumpliera 11 o 12 años. Así que lo voy a hacer porque es algo importante. Visite el sitio web de los CDC, www.cdc.gov.
Dr. King often said, "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter." He gave his life for things that matter. All you have to do is register to vote, then learn about candidates and issues all up and down the ballot. Vote November 5th.
Hey, and we're back, and you're not saying anything.
Yes, we are back. No, I was.
Is your tummy okay? You seem to be rubbing it for some reason. Are we pregnant again? No, I'm just joking. No, folks, that can't happen. It would be a miracle. Anyway, you okay over there?
Yes, I am. Right. I am.
Just want to make sure. All right, so, where we were before. Talking about storms.
Where we were before.
Talking about storms, anyway.
We were talking about
tone and delivery.
Trust and respect, and how you make sure that there is trust and respect
yeah,
in your relationship, especially when you're going through the storm.
But we ended up with Tone and
Tone
Delivery.
And Delivery.
We gave that long, long dissertation about the 90-year-old couples and all that other good stuff. Mm-hmm. Which still got to get a link so people can, you know, see it for themselves.
Exactly.
And they would understand.
Yes.
Next one is shared values and goals. I think they are in the area of you're going to have a taking a journey together relationship, but if you don't have any unity,
yes,
then it's not going to be a balanced, healthy relationship. And we know in the door, in the house, in the valley, friends, relatives, I'm going to keep on going on.
Yes.
Of unity has to be shared values and goals.
It has to. It
gotta
has to be.
Yeah.
Because if you're not working together towards the same goal, then you are disjointed. If you don't have the same values, then you are struggling.
Oh, yeah, you both are.
Because you can't find that happy medium. And that happy medium becomes capitulation.
Exactly. How shall two people walk together unless they agree? I bet you never heard that one before.
I have.
Where?
I don't know. Maybe from you. But I have.
No,
heard it.
I didn't make that up myself, but it came from someplace. Well, maybe out there somebody.
No, that's what I'm saying. Maybe I heard you say it before.
Yeah, I did. But, I got it from some other
But I have
people
heard it before.
People have to
before.
Listen to probably know what that is, where it came from. But yeah, seriously. Equally yoked. Another one.
I know where I heard that one. That one irritates me.
She's shy. You ain't gonna break a nurse egg.
No, I feel
you
like
get no yolk out of me.
And sometimes I'm just way too literal for my own good.
Exactly.
Because the thing of equally yoked, you know, when you talk, the first thing that comes to your mind is an egg. And when you crack an egg, you don't always find the same size yolk.
I don't know, you know, if people be measured about you.
No, I mean, just from looking at it. Okay. You know, just from looking at it. And when you cook a lot.
I don't look at yolk much, dear. Yeah, but I dump them right in that skillet and get them burned.
By the time you...
Get them eating them up.
I know, but see...
Get them on that sandwich and we're off and we're in.
And that's the thing. By the time you see it,
up,
it's on the sandwich.
You scramble yours up so hard. Shoot, I can plaster them on the side of the
they're
wall.
They're not going to plaster anywhere because they're so hard there's nothing to stick to the wall.
Exactly. And, then you put no for Tabasco sauce or nothing on it.
I don't like sauces like that. The only sauce
you're
I like is barbecue.
You're
on.
You're weird. Someone should say, I'm weird and goofy. You're weird.
Exactly. And that's why... With our tone and delivery.
And our shared values and goals.
Yeah, we laugh
not
about
not in food.
Yeah.
Not in food in that area. No.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
That is true, you know, but when you don't have, you know, when you do have shared goals and
core
values.
See, we're talking about
core values here. Yeah.
And future goals to strengthen the partnership. Mm-hmm. So let's get this and get more serious. We're talking about core values.
Yes.
That have to do with future goals and strengthen partnerships. Then it makes a little bit more sense. We're talking about balance, healthy relationships together in unity. That's what we're talking. We're not talking about like, I think we shouldn't. Anyway, I don't want to go into it. I think
here's an example. Yeah. When we first got together, I had a publishing company.
Yes.
And you had a publishing company.
Didn't even know that until we met each other.
And then, exactly, had no idea until
and
we were
and
talking.
And they were different in the
different
who
aspects.
We were targeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Different aspects of
yours was a lot. Yours was a lot more successful than mine. I just was getting off the ground. And I really haven't even pursued it since then. But, yeah, that's how that was.
Yeah. And so... that was one of the things, the shared goals and values. Mm-hmm. From my standpoint, and I'm saying it my because at that time, you know, we were just starting to get to know each other. We were just working on that friendship part. Mm-hmm. And my publishing company was something that was very important to me. And you understood that. You understood the value in that. Mm-hmm. And so together we set a new goal, which was to combine our publishing companies and combine them in such a way that we would make it grow.
Exactly. But yours came out winning on the other side. I morphed mine into more of the taking the journey.
Yeah.
Because we actually were operating together under the guys that we both were writing in the area of publishing. So I thought, I might as well extend my taking the journey, which I was doing before you.
Right.
And do the together thing in the area of publishing because it made much sense. But that's not what I was starting my publishing company at that time
right.
for. It was not yeah. those demographics that we were trying to talk
about. Exactly. And one of the things that would could have built yours is if we had stayed where we met. But the thing of it is, once we moved, we lost the connection to the demographics.
I don't think so, because I really didn't know those demographics.
But I did.
Well, you weren't presenting to me those demographics.
But
I didn't see you in that kind of demographics at all.
Yeah, but
those poetry group was not the people I was trying to target.
Yeah, but some of them were. Some of them they came in.
You kept them secret to me.
Well, that's because I had moved away from doing that a lot.
I'm saying.
But I would have had.
I'm not saying we couldn't have found them.
Yeah.
But I didn't see that in there as I wasn't privy to it. Number one.
Yeah.
And I didn't see it coming out of you whatsoever. Your daughter wasn't even focusing on that, and still is not even focusing on.
She still had connections to it.
But you know what I'm talking about.
Exactly, and that's what I'm saying. But once we moved away, it was completely gone.
The new person that we met now, her, particular young folks would be a demographic. Not that I'm thinking about it. I would see that more of a plausibility.
Exactly.
Now that we're talking about.
Exactly.
Anyway,
and see, here's that tone and delivery.
well, more
in
than
communications
that,
we're sharing, that's what I was getting ready to say.
And coming up with
that
discussing
is leading
the points
to
of mine.
Shared goals and values.
Exactly. Yes. And it may turn into another partnership. A business in this particular case in the area of publishing. Yeah,
I wasn't even thinking or expecting it to go down the road that it went down when I brought that up.
Exactly. But neither was I.
Yeah, but you know, there you go. But you know, the you can ask
yourself, those who are listening, what are your shared values and guides in relationships? What are they
exactly? It's important for you to consider that, especially when you're in relationship, and you must have a conversation about that to know that you're on the same page. You know,
and if you've never did it before, this is the time to start it now.
Right, and if you're young and you're young to the point that you are in the range where you can start a family and things like that, those conversations are very important that you find out. You know, if you're on the same page as far as how children should be raised, you know, what do you do when, you know, they misbehave? And it's too late to have that conversation after they've already misbehaved, and kids are going to misbehave at some point in time. Mm-hmm. You know, so you talk about and make sure that you're on the same page as far as how you plan to do it and what the outcome is that you're expecting. You know, what about college? Is that important to you? Do they have to go to college? Do both of you want them to go to college? You know, different things like that. And those conversations, even if they're conversations that kind of crop up because of something that you see on TV or whatnot, those are shared core values, shared goals, you know, and they need to be considered before you're in the fire.
I don't think a lot of us think about that. And that's because we operate many times in survival relationships. Survival relationships are just day by day I'm operating. I'm not really thinking about anything in the long run. Could be because financially I can't, or it could be because mentally I'm not there. Then it could be I just don't think in my lifestyle or what I think, being freely just operating in this world, I don't really care about tomorrow.
Right.
Whatever happens, happens from that particular one. So therefore, the idea we're talking about of I need to put together some values and in turn come up with goals doesn't come to pass.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people, a lot of relationships, we call them survival relationships. That's how they operate.
Yeah.
But when you move to a
thriving relationship, healthy relationship.
Exactly. You are going to bring those pieces in. It's like at a higher level. You're kind of, as kids say, what is it? Taking it up another level? What do they call it?
Take it up a notch.
Taking it up a notch. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or taping it up with another notch. <But anyway. laughs> So therefore, you're going to start looking at that. And that kind of success that you in turn manifest in your relationship, you will find that you'll have what you said the first time. Less storms. Don't mean that you're not going to have any, but there'll be less storms, and they won't be as intense.
Right.
Because you already have a purpose, and then you already are sharing your values. Because most of the storms that we're talking about came from We didn't have shared values. Mm-hmm. Our values weren't even shared. We never talked about it. We never discussed it. And they ran together like two storms. And we didn't have any goals at all. And things just crashed with one another. Yeah.
And in addition to that, the overall umbrella of this portion that we're talking about brings into play communication. Mm-hmm. So you know how to talk through the issues to keep them from becoming storms that are out of control.
So how do you talk through those, since you want to talk about it? Oh, I forgot. The next one's called Navigating Challenging Together. Navigating Challenges Together. So we're going to be talking about how you are.
Yeah, how you talk through them.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead. Start with the first one.
Conflict resolution.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that's what those storms are. They're just conflict. Not seeing eye to eye necessarily. So, you know, what you do is you explore healthy ways to resolve those conflicts, emphasizing the importance of staying calm.
You forgot the last part. Resolving what?
Conflicts.
Now, you explore healthy ways to resolve conflicts, emphasizing the importance of staying calm and focus on the issue, not the person.
Yes.
Focus on the issue, not the person. Exactly. You didn't say not the person.
I hadn't gotten there.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm getting on the person now.
Yeah, there we go. So there's the person.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Yes. So now we're, you know.
Because many times we do.
And when you go back to the I statement.
Exactly.
That's what we were saying about. So it's all connecting. It's all coming together.
Yeah, but the important thing is many times we do the person.
Mm-hmm.
And not the issue.
Exactly.
We don't look at the we situation.
Right.
We look at more of it's you. Mm-hmm. It's not we. Mm-hmm. It's mostly you that is that person.
And it's definitely not I.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Definitely not I.
Yeah.
There's that timeout strategy we have to mostly take care of, too, at the same time. All right.
Yeah. Use a timeout strategy so that you can cool down. It's like, okay, this is not going anywhere, but I'm getting very angry. And so I don't want us to, you know, yell at each other through this moment, because we need to have some understanding, which means that somebody has to have a cooler mind in order to stop and say, okay, I'm going to walk away. So it's like, I'm you know, he might say, I'm going to go out to the car and work on the car for a few minutes.
Somebody has to have a filter.
Yes.
Wow. We've got to work on that one.
Yeah.
Because that's hard when you're in the midst of being very angry and flooded. They call flooding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's hard to have to bring a filter out when you're flooding. Because the reason why you're flooding is you took the filter off.
Yeah.
Like all this time, and you think in your mind, I've been keeping from wanting to say about you.
Gone back
I
to
really
the carburetor.
Want to say back, and so I just took the flood off.
Yeah.
And I'm just blasting at
yes,
you.
Yes, yes, yes. And you know, and that's one of those situations where people say, let cooler heads.
Yeah.
What's that statement? Let cooler
heads rain or something.
Yeah,
like
something
that.
Like that.
Reside or something like
something
that.
Something like
yeah.
that. So
emotions
you know,
run high to cool down before they should. Hard when it's really hot.
And
to do that.
And it's hard when both people are very emotional and passionate about what is going on.
Exactly.
About that storm that's going on at that time.
You mean that two people at that time are taking it very personal?
Exactly.
I can't believe that.
No, of course so.
Why would you in a storm in a relationship be taking what each other is saying personal?
Because it's personal.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense? No.
Okay.
That's kind of like the mother said, you know, tells you not to do something and you say, but why? Because I said so. You know, that's that kind of thing. Because it's personal. You know, so you're not really answering anything. But yeah, you know, but it's important for somebody to, in a situation like that, to say, it's time for us to step apart for a minute. You know,
somebody should try if they can. Someone who has what they call some emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Part of emotional intelligence is knowing that if both of us are on flooding, our emotions are not going to be intelligent.
Exactly.
So my emotional intelligence tells me our emotions will not be intelligent at this time. So I need to do something that's not as emotional.
Right.
You know? Or in turn shows no emotion right now that is going to cause more of a conflict. And that's where the intelligence comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it hard to believe that you attach an emotional intelligence and can be together? Because most of the time, if you're caught up in emotions, you don't think of anything in an intelligent way.
Exactly.
At all. Period. So it's like right out the door.
Yes. Definitely. And so, and that is why it definitely becomes very important to let some to for somebody to say, we got to stop this. We got to take a break.
Okay. Huh?
That it's important for somebody to say that.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say you need to take a break.
No, I'm good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
So I was
taking a break, but go ahead.
So the timeout strategy is very, very important.
I know this one couple that does a timeout. They have a big high chair that's in the kitchen. And when timeout comes, one of them has to sit on the high chair. And they have this big dunce hat they put on their head. It's turned in the corner, and it says, I'm a dunce.
Yeah. But you know what that made me think of? That made me think. That I had a student. This is something else. This is not what it made me think of. Uh-huh. But I had a student who was talking constantly about 2 weeks ago.
And you put him
in the car? And I made him move over to where I was, and I took the over next to my desk, mm-hmm. and I took the student desk, and I turned it towards the wall, and I said, "Now you're gonna sit here, and you're going to focus on this assignment." Because he was just talking and was keeping other people from focusing mm-hmm. and everything. And so
he was a chatterbox?
Oh, he is a chatterbox.
Okay.
And so he came over and he sat there, and the rest of the class was like, you know, pretty much you had that one coming. You know, and so mm-hmm. my co-teacher said, now all we need is a big dunce hat. The kids had no clue what she was talking mm-hmm. about. Mm-hmm. And it was three adults in the classroom, including me,
mm-hmm.
and we all around the same age, and so we just started laughing, and they were looking at us like, "What's a dunce hat?" You know. But the other thing the real thing that I thought about when you said that was that video that we saw of that couple,
mm-hmm.
and the way they were when they would get to a stalemate in the argument, they mm-hmm. would look at each other, and at the same time they would say, "I'm wrong." And you are right. And
now we have to not have to fight.
And at any rate, they would mm-hmm. say to each other that they would admit that they were both wrong mm-hmm. and that they were both that they were both right.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would hug and then move on. I can't remember exactly how it went, but I thought that was a real cute way mm-hmm. to end a conflict. Where it's basically agreeing to disagree.
Yes.
And then moving on from there.
I like that. Let's go on the side that has to do with the next thing in the negative navigating challenges together.
Yes.
Emotional support. Discussing the role of emotional support in our relationship. That's what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the discussions when it comes to emotional support in a relationship outside of the, well, it's important to encourage each other as cheerleaders and safe spaces.
Uh-oh.
That's a tough one.
Yes, it is.
Many times in relationships, ain't no guy want to be a cheerleader. We got today, ain't no woman who want to be a cheerleader.
Exactly.
But both of us want a safe what?
Space. But we don't want to create it for the other person.
We don't.
If we create a safe space, it's going to be for us.
Exactly.
You know, for this is my safe space. That's your safe space. If you can create it, that's you're on your own.
You're on your own.
And we
you're on your own. Don't pick my bone.
Exactly. And sometimes
I don't mess with my bone.
I'm gonna leave that alone.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we don't.
Oh shoot! I forgot. That was
kind of a wimpy little puppy, wasn't it?
It was. I didn't want to scare you and everybody else early this morning, really.
And we thank you for that.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay. I could tell a story about your little bitty dog, but we're not gonna do it.
No.
No.
Don't bring him up. I miss him.
I bet you do. I'm glad he's gone. But anyway, I think your point you was going to make is important.
Yep. The point I was getting ready to make as I work my way through my memory banks to try to get back to where mm-hmm. I was.
Space. We only create it for ourselves.
Exactly. Yes. We only create it for ourselves. And sometimes we don't even realize that we're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But we are, you know, when we pull into ourselves in the heat of an argument, you know, we might tell ourselves that, you know, I just don't want to have this argument anymore. But if you're not communicating that with your partner, then you're creating a safe space for yourself and leaving them out in the storm. And is that going to stop the storm? No. It is going to create more animosity to feed the storm. So that's kind of like, you know, whipping up the weather patterns in order to get a tornado going.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
so you can't, and it's also like abandonment.
Yes.
And that just popped into my head that is a clear example of abandoning your partner in the midst of a storm.
Exactly. I'm saving myself.
Mm-hmm.
This is only my space.
Every man for himself.
Exactly. You cannot get in this space. This is only my space, and that's
yes.
It.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm going into my closet.
And the side that you did go by, which is important, is that safe space is always then, how can I say it, eliminates the cheerleading,
yeah.
Which at that time it
exactly.
needs somebody to yeah. in turn start cheerlead,
yeah.
someone to uplift,
mm-hmm.
someone to in turn support that partner doing what tough times.
Yeah.
Isn't that what cheerleaders do?
Exactly.
They don't cheer most of the time doing football and basketball when things are going on just good.
And
they
never
cheer the most when something's what?
Yeah. Is not going
the
good.
Points are down, but they need some kind of encouragement. They do. Okay, you got something funny going
on. But you never hear a cheerleader going, "Yay, team, you losers, you're gonna be losers." You know, you never hear that.
You wasn't even a cheerleader. You was on the losing side, wasn't you? They liked you.
but you don't hear cheerleaders doing that.
Mm-mm.
So in the heat of the storm.
Losers. Yeah.
But in the storm, mm-hmm. you can't do that. You know, you need to say, and this is also in training. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that we're saying here, you've got to train yourself to do.
Yes.
And the only way you can train yourself is to do self-talk in the heat of the storm. In you know, when the storm clouds are the worst and the mm-hmm. winds are really roaring, you're going to have to self-talk and say, okay, I need to change this weather pattern.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the first thing that you could say, the easiest thing to say is, sweetheart, I understand you were right, but I just have a different way of looking at it.
Exactly. And you while know. You're telling them, make sure you put right beside your face a L.
Yeah.
You don't say anything else. Just have a L. Well,
on your forehead. Sweetheart.
What's that L there for? I love you. It stands for love.
No, it's not an L. It's 9 o'clock.
There you go. Exactly. Put that in. We're being funny, but I just think, especially today, the idea of cheerleading in our relationship, it seems to be, a lot of people think it's corny,
yeah.
not needed,
yeah.
that if you do that, then emotionally you are not a strong person,
mm-hmm.
and so you don't need that kind of uplift that way in the first place. But yet, when the outside storms are going like this, is going on now, mm-hmm. in this world, how much more do we need cheerleading in our relationships?
Oh, definitely.
Much, much more.
Every single day.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
and you know, and one of those things is cheerleading is something that I have trouble with is, I have trouble with it. No mm-hmm. sense in saying anything else or trying to sugarcoat it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that is breaking away from what you're doing during the course of the day.
Sacrifice. Yeah, that's what you're referring to, sacrifice.
Yes, absolutely. And we have to learn how to do that.
Yeah.
And make it okay and not talk ourselves out of it.
Especially in the me generation.
Yeah.
Selfish generation.
Yeah.
Selfie generation. Got to have it now. McDonald generation.
Exactly.
Don't wait for tomorrow. Yeah. It's not at all spiritual or woke now. If you can't manifest that right now, and the faster you make it manifest, the more godly it is, the more you are in tune with yourself.
Exactly. You know, but we put things off.
Well, I think many times I can understand that dynamics, but that also says at the same time, we must be perfect already, and therefore that manifestation must come to pass because I'm a perfect person.
Right. And that is how it
comes across.
Yeah.
Exactly. And reminds you of that one preacher used to say to me, you know, sometimes you sound like you're so heavenly minded, you're earthly, no good.
Yeah. And that is one of those things that we have to battle against within ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even if, you know, now you've got electronics for everything, you have
AI moving.
Yeah. So, you know, even on your smart watch or your phone or whatever, you can set a cheerleader timer, you know, and when it goes off, you know that that's time for you to
go, Sharon. Time to go. Go, Sharon. Time to go.
Yes. And for me, I'll walk out the back door of the classroom. But anyway, that'll be going. No.
No, you'll be standing in front of the mirror, getting your face ready and your hair down like you do every morning.
No, the face, yeah.
Yeah,
no.
You do.
Anyway.
Get that hair ready to go. Just stand in front of your class so you can flash.
Right.
Yeah, you do. You know you love getting in front of the class.
I love getting in front of the class.
Showing off.
I love getting
it. Just turns you on. It's like an addiction. It is. Addiction, you know.
It probably is, but after doing it for so long, it is just like.
You're just an old drug.
It's a part of life.
You're an old addiction?
Yeah.
Druggy. No. Yeah. I'm just joking.
Yeah. What's your drug of choice?
Yeah. Well,
teaching.
I gotta say,
in the summertime, I have withdrawal.
Exactly. For the kids, actually, they think that you go into a teacher's little box and it closes up.
Yeah.
And you're in there. Wait till they start doing AI robots. It'll be like that. Once the kids leave the class, they pull back in their little box.
And recharge.
And recharge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, would that be kind of scary?
I'm telling you. But seriously, we need to learn how to set a timer.
Mm-hmm.
If that until we get in the habit of, you know, constantly cheerleading our partner, and it's not a one-way thing. It goes
especially,
both ways.
Especially doing tough times. Mm-hmm. Sometimes doing tough times, we figure that's the least thing they need to do because we need to do because they have tough loves.
Yeah.
Buck it up, Bucky.
Yeah.
Stop crying.
Exactly.
Ain't you a grown person? How about the other one? Ain't you a man?
Yes. Man up.
Exactly. Or a woman, whatever. So it isn't cheerleading for kids.
Yeah.
Tricks are for kids, not for you, you silly rabbit.
Yeah. And then you get that person that will go back and use something that somebody else has said, like, you know, why do I have to be your cheerleader? Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps.
Ooh,
I don't have any boots.
Yeah, well, because
you know, and
I took them. So what? Here, get them.
Exactly. So the thing is, if I don't have boots to and straps to pull my boots, then how am I going to cheer myself up?
Exactly. And weren't those boots made for walking? One of these days, those boots are going to walk right over you. So are you ready, Boots?
Start walking.
It's time for us to walk and say goodbye on the show. Until next time.
Keep taking the journey together.
Yes.
We look forward to seeing you. And remember the things that we talked about today.
God bless.
You have been listening to Taking the Journey Together on WRUU. We hope you've gotten some information to smooth your relationship journey. If you have any relationship questions that you'd like us to explore, send us an email to ttjt@takingthejourney-together.com or post on Facebook at www.facebook.com/ttjtogether.
Until next Saturday at 9 a.m., enjoy your Taking the Journey Together. The viewpoints expressed in the following program are not necessarily those of WRUU 107.5, its license holder, or